I want to cover how we need to control our mouth, guard our thoughts, but control our mouth. Because out of our mouth, we say things that get us in trouble. Let me say that again. If we're not careful, what comes out of our mouth is going to get us in trouble. A good example of that would be Job. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants." And it goes on to say that he was the greatest of all the men in the East. That's what Job had going for him. He loved God, and he hated evil. He eschewed evil. He would not do anything wrong knowingly. But over time, something crept into his life to take that away from him. What was it? Fear. He allowed fear to rule in his life. And I'll show you where it began. In Job 1, it says in Job 1, 4 through 5, and Job's sons used to take turns hosting parties in their homes, always inviting their sisters to join them in their merrymaking. And when their parties were over, Job would get up early in the morning and sacrifice a burnt offering for each and every one of his children, thinking it may be that one of them has sinned by defying God inwardly. Job made a habit of this sacrificial atonement just in case they sinned. Was there any evidence that they had sinned? No. It doesn't say he saw anything that indicated that they had, but just in case, that fear that they had done something wrong and that they were disobeying God and not doing things the way God would have them to do things caused him to worry and doubt what his family was doing, the care that they were giving God. Now, there's one thing that you need to understand about these parties that they were throwing. It seems that, and I've heard in several of the commentaries, they say these were birthday parties. Now, Job had 7 sons, and he had 3 daughters. And a party in a family that size, and with all the wealth that they had, went on for quite some time. And you better believe it was one heck of a get down. But the point is, there was no evidence that his kids had done anything wrong. But just in case, he offered burnt offering for them daily in case that they had done something wrong. And that's confirmed again in Job 3:25 through 26. What it says here is, from the International Version of the Bible, "What I feared has come upon me." What I did what? "What I feared has come upon me. And what I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace. I have no quiet. I have no rest, but only turmoil." What brought this on? Fear and concern that his kids may be sinning. Not that he had any evidence of it, but he was a good parent. And so he made sure that he offered atonement for each and every one of his sons in case they were doing wrong. That fear caused Job to lose everything that was important to him. That fear caused him to lose nearly everything that he valued. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to get into the message that we speak, what comes out of our mouth. and how it's important that our actions, but more importantly, our words be right, that they be what they ought to be. And there were two men in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17, and their message spread like cancer. These two men were teaching something contrary to what the apostles were teaching. The apostles were teaching that the resurrection had not come yet. These two men, and their names were Hermogenes and Philetus, they spoke that the resurrection had already taken place. And through their speaking, they caused many people to doubt and to lose believing and trust in what the apostles were teaching. But their message, this false narrative, which they were speaking, spread like cancer. And that's what the King James Version says. Well, if you look at the Greek, and you look at Strong's or any of the concordances, analytical concordances, you'll find that that cancer is, it's talking about, the Greek word is gangrena. Gangrena. That's what it is in Greek. And it occurs only one time and in one verse in the Greek concordance. A gangrene is a disease which any part of the body is when it's affected. A gangrene is a disease by which any part of the body suffering from inflammation becomes so corrupted that unless a remedy can be seasonably applied, the evil continually spreads, attacking other parts and at last eating away to the bones. Now, if any of you have had cancer, and I've had it, if it's not stopped, if it's not checked, it metastasizes. And that's when it spreads into the bone. And by what I spoke, because I spoke God's word concerning my cancer, it was gone. They could not find it when they went in to confirm it. They had spotted cancer in my bones. But yet when they went in to check it, I said to the doctors, do what you need to do, but when you get in there, you will not find cancer. And so they went in twice. And each time they called me back the first time, Mr. Anderson, we need to do the test again. Why? I asked. Because we didn't find anything. And we just want to confirm that there was nothing there. I said, I told you wouldn't find anything. I told them, do what you need to do, but when you get in there, you will not find cancer. And God honored my words and brought them to pass. God honored my words because they lined up with His word. His word says, by Jesus Christ's stripes, we were healed. Done. Past tense. Over with. The doctor said, you have bone marrow cancer. I dared to speak what God said, and God brought His deliverance to pass. And when they went in there on two occasions, they were not able to find cancer. Well, what these two men spoke spread throughout the body of believers like a cancer, and eating away at the integrity of the word that they had been taught. In the same way that a cancer eats at your body until it metastasizes, eating away all areas of your body, getting into the bone. In the same way, fear, worry, and doubt entered the believers' minds through these people who were speaking contrary to God's word. And because they spoke with such dynamic, vigorous, people began to believe them and to accept what they said. Mark 11, 23 and 24 tells you the way God wants you to use your words. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus Christ is talking to the apostles. And he looks over the mountain, and he said, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says will come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believing, you shall receive. You shall receive. You shall receive. As long as it lines up and is in alignment and harmony with God's word, God says you're healed. The doctor says you're not. You, by your words, by your actions, are going to determine what's going to happen in your life. By your words. This mountain can apply to any of the challenges that we currently face. God Almighty guarantees results of what we speak or think with believing, whether that be good or bad. Now, wait a minute. I said whether that be good or bad. In Job's case, what he feared interfered with all of the blessings that God had given him. He was the richest man in the East. He had more of everything than anybody else in the East. Yet, because of the fear that entered into his life, that the devil put in him, because of those fears, he lost it all. He lost everything. He lost everything that was of value to him. And to the point where his wife said to him, Why don't you just curse God and die? We cannot allow fear to rule in our lives. We be governed by fear. We should not be governed by fear. Anything that you face in your life, any challenges that you face in your life, God can help you through if we don't fear. And if we speak those things that God speaks, if we speak his word. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but the deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. What we speak is either going to build us up or it's going to tear us down. And the same thing is true of the people that we speak to. If we bless them, if we love them as God loves us, then we're going to speak blessings into their life. If we curse them, then we're going to speak cursing and we're going to bring them down. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. What? Death or life? Whatever you love and whatever you speak is going to bring either blessings or cursings upon the people that you speak it to. In James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12 from the New Living Testament. Indeed, all make many mistakes. We all make many mistakes. For we could not control our tongues. For if we could not control our tongues, let me start again. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect, and we could only control ourselves in every other way. Today will never come again. Be a blessing, and this is in the captions. This is from James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12, from the New Living Testament, on controlling our tongue. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want him to go by means of a small bit in his mouth. Now, I don't know how much you guys are aware of this, but Well, on the reins come into a horse's mouth. And then on each side, there is a little connection for the reins to, when you pull back on the reins, what that does is that pulls a bar, a metal bar down against the top of the horse's tongue. And it's the uncomfortableness of that that makes him do whatever you want him to do. When you pull back on the reins, you're putting pressure on his tongue. You're stopping him, and he will stop to stop the pain. Then when you let go, he'll continue to move on. But we control a horse by that simple bit that we put in his mouth. We need to learn to do the same thing with our mouths. A small rudder, verse 4, makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In some way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark set in a great forest on fire, a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting the entire body. It can set your life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, many fish. No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. So blessing and cursing pour out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble up with fresh water and bitter water at the same time? Does a fig tree produce olives, or grapevines produce figs? No. And all can be drawn from fresh water.